You're listening to The Millennials' Choice Show, Canada's most trusted podcast on all things real estate, finance, and entrepreneurship. Here's your host, Matthew Ablican.
In 3, 2, 1, rolling.
Oh, guys.
We're rolling.
We're rolling. We're here. Another episode. Another episode of The Millennials' Choice Show with our, you know, co-host, Danny Ablican.
What's going on, everyone?
Thanks, Danny. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Today is a great episode. You know, guys, we want to talk about, in this market, what you can do as a first-time home buyer to get into the market, whether you're an investor or you want to buy a property to live in. There are some strategies that you can use that you may not be aware of. And it's all about raising your awareness, right? And getting into that mindset and being able to just really put everything together and say, okay, I could do this, I could do that. These are my options. How do I want to proceed? And you need to know those options. So we're here to give you some of those options, right, Dan?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of different things that we kind of want to just touch on. The first and most important thing, in my opinion, is you need to work with the right person. I know everybody says this, but guys, you need to pick somebody that is actually living and breathing real estate and mortgages. And I do emphasize mortgages because there are a lot of real estate agents that just do real estate, which is okay, but it's hard to kind of get the right help without that holistic view.
Well, just to jump into that,
yeah.
When I'm posting on social media about, you know, the variable rate went up because the Bank of Canada made an announcement, and that impacts only the variable rate when we're talking about mortgages. The fixed rates, they operate on a whole different, you know, platform. They operate because of the bond market in large, in most part, but that, when I post that, something as simple as that, you won't believe how many realtors DM me and say, what are you talking about? The Bank of Canada just raised the rates. Doesn't that mean all the rates went up? The realtors are saying this. These are the same realtors saying that they're number one realtor since 2000 and, you know,
one.
And, you know, they got licensed in 2005, but you know, these are the same realtors like saying all these things, award winning and whatever. I'm not trying to knock the industry. I love my industry.
Yeah,
that's my career. I'm educated. I went to university. I have 2 degrees. I love this. I love what I do. I didn't fall into this by accident, right? I love our career, but there's a lot of bad people in our industry. So to build on your point, you need to have the right team of people, because think about it. If that realtor has no idea how interest rates work and in their head, all the rates are too high, it's not a good time to buy or whatever, then they're going to not give you the right advice. They're going to inform you incorrectly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even when it comes to some people, many people have come to us and said, oh, like, you know, is it okay if I just go and get the mortgage directly from the bank? Not to knock on the banks. We work with the banks. We work with the big banks.
Yeah, we have contracts with all the banks, TD, Scotiabank.
Exactly. Like, we have helped a lot of clients get mortgages from them. The only issue that I have when you go directly to the bank is that person working there is working for the bank.
They're representing the bank.
They're not working for you. As much as, you know, their friends or family, whoever it is, at the end of the day, they have to meet quotas. Like, people that used to work at the bank have told us, yeah, guys, they really push us to push the 5-year fixed mortgages because that's how they make the most money, variable. But mostly the 5-year fixed, they want people to lock in and as a result be stuck. And they obviously get compensated for the longer term. And that's not a good thing, right? So whereas for us, there is not, like, we're not the employee of the bank. We work with them, yes, but we're not bound by certain things where they don't come to us and say, you have to do this much volume by the end of this month or you're getting let go. It doesn't happen with us. So to bring it back, you know, you can go work with the bank directly, but you have to ask yourself, is this person at the bank going to get me the best deal, or are they going to get the best deal for their bank, their employer?
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're a rate shopper these days, like, you know, we've talked about this in the past, like, that's not the way to go about it. It's about your terms and conditions and your service. Good luck, man. I deal with so many people at the bank. It's so difficult, unless I have a personal relationship with them, to actually get a hold of somebody, to actually get an answer on something. Takes 3 days, takes 4 days, takes 5 days. I've been waiting for a call back from a credit union, a mortgage specialist, and he's not someone we work with on our broker channel. It's someone else, just directly at the credit union. I've been waiting now 1 week. I've been waiting 1 week And he, I feel like he purposefully called me at like 4:53 p.m. on a Friday. And what's funny is he didn't even call my cell. He called the office and he has my cell. We text. And then I call him back immediately. No answer. And it's been seven days.
They're done at five, right?
I called him again. Yeah. No answer. And I emailed him again. No answer. I texted him. No answer. So now guess what's going to happen next week? Because I know the answer. The answer is going to say, no, we can't do this deal. That's going to be the answer. So you're telling, how do I not get pissed off? You're telling me now for 2 weeks, I waited for you to pick up your phone, call me back, just to tell me no. 2 weeks went by. Hey, our business, you guys, is go, go, go. We're grinding 24/7. And if you don't have a broker on the mortgage side, and in our case, a realtor, like a broker of record, Danny's a real estate broker, I'm the broker of record, and we also have our mortgage license. If you don't have somebody like that on your side, guiding you along the way, what are you going to be doing? You bought a property, you're just twiddling your thumbs for 2 weeks to hear back from somebody who's going to say you weren't approved. Then what? You just lost 2 weeks. So what are you going to do? You're going to go shop around your application. They're going to check your credit five different times. You're going to give sensitive documents to five different people who, like, I gave this guy sensitive documents. I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What are you doing with my documents?
Yeah.
Right? So the point is, you know, surround yourself with the right team. Get the mindset right and then understand the options that are available to you. So let's talk about, let's give these guys right now, Danny, they're listening to us. Let's give them real options that they have in today's market in you know, March of 2023, April 2023. What can people be looking at? Let's give them a suggestion.
Let's get into it, man. And we've talked about this first one a lot. You guys will hear us talking about pre-construction real estate.
Okay.
Right? So the reason why we talk so much about pre-construction real estate is it's worked. It's worked for us in the past. Matthew's talked about it many times with his own experiences. It's worked for me when I've listened to Matthew and I've gone into many different developments with his help. It's worked for a lot of our clients, a whole list of clients.
We've made real millionaires.
Yeah.
We've made real millionaires. If they want to disclose it, we could get them on the show. We're not the you know, financial freedom and, you know, I want to make 100 millionaires and you never hear who's the millionaire. Yeah. We've made real millionaires. They have millions. Like, it's fact. Okay. And with pre-construction real estate, the reason why it still works is that you don't need to have a mortgage ready until the project is done. And if it's a condo, even a little bit afterwards.
Sometimes, dude, that's like four or five years away.
We're working on a project in Mississauga by Tridel. You know when the occupancy date is? We're 2023. They started selling last year. 2028.
Yeah, I believe that.
Meaning the mortgage won't be needed till 2029.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you can just not worry about interest rates, not worry about qualifying for a mortgage because you might be in your late teens, 19 when I bought my first one, or 20s, early 20s. How do you get in? That's how you get in. Because by the time 2029 rolls around, 6 years from now, let's say you're 21, you're going to be 27. You'll have more money saved. You'll have a career probably going, or you'll be more established. You should be out of school or whatever. You'll be more established. Your life's going to be completely different. So you'll be in a better position. So, but you got your foot in the door in 2023. You didn't wait till 2029.
Exactly. Because the prices are definitely going to be much higher in 2029. And you don't know what your situation is going to be like at that time. You might want to move out. You might want to find a renter, right? You might want to just build for yourself, right?
Sell it and you might want to now buy something you're going to live in.
Exactly.
And prices, the reason why we're confident prices go up is because, number one, we have a big supply issue. And right now in this market, a lot of builders and developers are not launching new projects. So there's only a few of them, literally less than a handful of them. And a couple of them are, well, one of them is really not even reputable in Ontario we're talking about. So you don't want to go down that path. You want to buy from the big guys. You want to buy from the reputable guys that aren't going to cancel a project, that are going to, you know, build this thing and deliver it on time and whatnot. So we're big on pre-con specifically for if you have some money, you don't want to worry about a mortgage. You want to invest in something, put some money on the side, go ahead. It's you know, you're just not keeping the money in your bank account, you're putting it in there. Also, inflation, it's not only affecting real estate prices, it's affecting the cost to build these new homes. So just, you know, by in part, like, new homes are just going to cost more. And the counter argument is, why don't I buy a home that's already existing? Okay, get the down payment ready, get the closing costs ready, qualify for the mortgage, and find something. Good luck finding something that you like, because supply is a major issue right now.
100%.
So let's not harp on pre-con too much. I know a lot of people, but just so you guys know what pre-construction is, if you're hearing it for the first time, you're buying from floor plans. They're, the deposit's guaranteed by the government. Your deposit money is guaranteed by third-party insurance companies. And if it's a condo, they're held in trust. So you have a lot of protections in there. But you're buying off of floor plans from a reputable builder, and you hope that obviously they build it and deliver it to you in the near future.
Yeah. I just got to add one really important thing that I'll never forget that actually made me feel very comfortable going into it, going into my first pre-construction investment, is what you said to me. You said, all you need is a deposit. You're not doing anything else. You give the developer a deposit. They're building it. They're doing all the work for you.
They take all the risk.
They take all the risk. But the thing that really clicked for me was you said, in that specific example, you're like, you're going to be giving, let's say, 50 grand until it's built. In that example, 50 grand. Let's say now it's 75 grand or 100 grand, right, until it's built. You're, by only giving that initial amount of money, you're securing an investment that's valued at 500,000 or 600,000 with only a partial amount of it, right? You're only giving like 100 grand, but you're securing an investment that's worth, valued at much, much more. So that really got me going and thinking like, wow, that's how you truly accumulate wealth, where you go, you borrow the rest of the money from the bank at a lower interest rate, and the property is just going to appreciate over time. And that's exactly what happened to me. And that's what's opened up a lot of doors for me in my life right now, which is the pre-construction. So I just wanted to put that out there because a lot of people might not really see the benefit even initially, but trust me, the benefit, it happens right away as soon as you sign on the dotted lines.
Well, it's about leverage, and real estate offers you leverage. So in general, even if you're buying resale, it's leverage. You just need your down payment, your closing cost, and you're able to secure it. With pre-construction, you know, you don't need your down payment yet. You don't need your closing cost yet. You will need it in the future. The point is you're able to secure something that's more expensive and use leverage. So if the market, if you bought something in 2023, let's say pre-construction, it's ready in 2029. 6 years, let's say the market only went up 10%. 10%, that's it. In 6 years, which we've seen markets that in 1 year have gone up 30%. Let's say in 6 years, 10%. That's super conservative.
Like, right? Ultra conservative.
Ultra conservative. Like, it should be higher, but let's just say 10%. You buy something for $500,000. You gave the builder $100,000. You pay 20%, which usually it's less initially, but let's just say it's 20%. You're going to give them $100K. You bought something for $500K. It went up 10%. So the value went up from 500 to 550.
Yeah.
So what's your return on investment if you gave the builder $100K and it went up by 50? Your return on investment before taxes and fees and all that. I know some of you guys are going to try to act smart and you're going to, you know, send a message and say, yeah, but that's before whatever. I'm being ultra conservative, you guys. That's a 50% return on your investment.
That's 50%. Insane.
50%.
That's insane.
6 years, only a 10% appreciation. What happens if the appreciation's 30%, 40%, 50%, which we've seen
many times.
We've seen returns of 700% IQ condos, 750% return on your investment.
That's crazy, man.
750% return. So you guys are chasing Bitcoin and all this stuff. Those guys have made their money already. Yeah. All those guys at the beginning have made their money already. So don't fall for that. Build long-term wealth. But
for sure. Let's shift gears.
Okay, so we gave you strategy. Number one, pre-construction real estate. Number two, I want to mention, and you could get into it, is if you don't have the down payment, but you have a good job, you are settled, you have good credit, maybe you have a spouse or a partner, and you guys want to buy your home together that you want to live in, but you don't have the down payment. So what's the first thing you think about? I'm going to wait, I'm going to save money, and then I'm going to get in. But we all know, if these last 3 years have revealed anything to us, you cannot outsave inflation.
No.
Plain and simple.
There's no way.
There's no way. There is zero way. You know, especially if you're salaried and you're capped, and especially if your salary doesn't have a inflation adjustment in your contract with your company. If they're not adjusting it for the rate of inflation every year, you're losing money every single year at your job.
Yeah.
Just at your job alone. So one thing you could do, right, talk about, is gifted down payments. So, so get into the borrow down payments, gifted
borrow down payments. Borrow down payment works, man. We're seeing a lot more people qualifying this market with higher gifted down payments from parents. So all the gifted down payment means, guys, is you're going to your parents and saying to them, hey, I want to buy a place. Are you able to give me a gift for the down payment? Give me some money to use towards the house purchase. So what's that? What that's going to do is help you get into the market sooner while the prices are lower and qualify for a mortgage that way. And like Matthew said, the key to this is having a strong income, having a strong credit. If you haven't looked at your credit, you should definitely pull it and see what's going on with it and learn and check out other videos about how to build your credit. Because if you're not looking at your credit, I was talking to somebody yesterday, they're like, I've never pulled my credit before. Like, how do I do that?
Oh, you should check it twice a year. In my opinion, you should, if not four times a year.
Like, you should.
It doesn't negatively impact you if you check it on your own.
No, but I'm just like, you need to definitely check your credit just to see what's going on. Because there's been times where clients have checked it after I spoke with them and they saw there was some fraud happening with a credit card that they never touched. And someone was using it. And I'm like, well, how would you know that, right? If you don't have a notification set up. But anyways, to go back to that, a gifted down payment. A lot of people are using that, which is so smart. Get the down payment. And who knows? Let's say your parents want to borrow, give you some money to borrow, not even as a gift, and you want to pay them back. Guys, with the rate of inflation, how much property values are increasing by over the years, it's very easy to do what's called a refinance, you know, a year later, a couple years later, if the market's increasing, and pay your parents back when you're doing a refinance. But those are little tricks here and there that, you know, are able to get people to get into the market. And then as a result, take out the equity, reinvest, or do whatever you want with the money. Give it back to your parents, whatever the case is.
So you could borrow money from your, what Danny's saying is you could borrow money from your parents rather than saying, I'm going to save money.
Yeah.
You borrow it from them now, you get into the market now, and then it's your parents. Like you'll be able to pay them back.
Yeah.
You know, instead of you trying to hoard cash and save, just start paying your parents back.
If they don't want to give you a gift. I know some people, the parents, like,
they want to just give them a gift.
I'm giving you like a quarter of a mil. I'm like, that's nice. Like, you should accept that. And honestly, I've had people like, oh, like, should I like accept the gift my parents are offering? I'm like, honestly, it's up to you, but
I'll accept it if they don't want it.
I was like,
I was like, if we have that, quarter mil, they're questioning?
No, but I'm saying parents have given that, but another scenario, it was like a little bit less. I think it was like 50 or something like that, 50K.
They're like, should we accept
it? And I was just like, honestly, like, it's up to you, but
Carson's giving us the thumbs up.
I would take it. I was like, honestly, I would take it. Like, they want to just give it to you as a gift. Accept
of course,
it,
you know, it's your parents. Like, are you not gonna? What are you gonna do? You're gonna deprive your kids one day?
Exactly.
Come on.
So I would say do it.
You're not. People have this weird pride about that. But anyway, that's just set that aside. The other person or entity you could borrow money from is actually the government as well. So if you want to bring the government, the federal government, into the deal, and as a partner, there's obviously qualifications for it.
Yeah.
But they, depending on the property type, will give you either 5% or will give you 10% as part of your down payment. And then they'll own the property for either 5% or 10%.
Exactly.
If the property goes up in value, one day you sell it, that's how you pay them back. If it goes down in value and you sell it, they lose their money. It's actually not that bad of a deal, but they know what they're doing. The upside is way better than the downside. Why would the government say that if they think the market's going to crash?
No.
Like, think about
that.
Why would the government give taxpayer dollars, because that's what it is, as assistance to other homeowners, like potential homeowners, and say, if the market goes up, we get this much percentage of ownership of your property, and we obviously will benefit from that if you ever sell. Or if it goes down, you know, we're taking the risk. We're going to lose. The government's going to take a risk.
They'll never lose money for you. They'll only gain money. Somehow, some way, they're going to gain it.
Don't make me laugh. Okay?
I don't want to get into that.
So we have, let's just summarize. We have pre-construction. Yeah. If you want to buy something that's already built, you can get a borrow down payment. This is if you don't have the down payment. Can I throw something in here now? Like, those were, you brought those up, right? But I brought up the gifted down payment, but we both talked about it.
Go for it.
What if you're an investor? There's no way, no how. Matthew, you don't know my story. You don't know my story. I come from the other side of the tracks. You know, this $25,000 that I've saved, you know, this is all I have, right? What can I invest in? And the reality is nothing in terms of a pre-construction or a resale. You can't do it. So another thing you could look into, and obviously do your due diligence. We don't represent any of these companies. We're not lawyers. We're not giving you legal advice, tax advice ever on any one of our episodes. But you can look into real estate investment trusts known as REITs. And there are some really big ones that are out there that have been in business for over 20 years. And REITs are basically where you pull your money in, and a person who controls the company will invest that money into real estate, and they'll just give you a return on your investment. Yeah. And I think usually most companies are like minimum 25,000 as what you need to invest. So that's a way you could get into the real estate market, be investing in the real estate market and earning passive income, usually around 8% returns on average, 6 to 8. And so you could do that while you build up your capital if you're in that situation where it's like you have no way, no how, and you don't have no experience and you're not able to buy property. You could trust someone else who's been doing that. And we're talking about reputable large companies. You could trust them to do that with your money.
REITs are a really good option. And even on that point too, if you don't necessarily want to trust a random company, you know, that's, even though they're really established, obviously only go for the really established ones. You'll get less returns on your investment, but they're more, there's less risk, right? It's mitigated risk. But I was going to just add, if you want to maybe invest with a buddy or a friend, someone that you
trust. So joint ventureship or partnership.
JVs, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good option.
Yeah. Young people right now, if you guys can't get in, you have 25,000, your friend has 25,000, put something in writing, get it down in writing. Do not do it without having it in writing. We've seen horror stories when money is involved. Okay. Put it in writing, combine. If you trust this person, they trust you, and maybe go in on a property together for your first one.
Yeah. Why
not? We have a lot of clients who did that, and now they're buying properties on their own. But some of them bought properties when they were 19. Some of them bought properties when they were 16. They partnered with a family member or a good friend on their first one. They made a lot of money. And now those people are buying their own. And they're still doing stuff with their partner, but now they're buying their own
stuff as well. In addition to that.
In addition to it.
It's all about getting your foot in the door, man.
Yeah.
It's when you get your foot in the door, and I'm speaking from experience, it really does, you know, help you to elevate yourself and help you to build upon that foundation, right? If you're on the sidelines, you're not really getting any skin in the game. You're not doing anything. Nothing's happening. You're actually just missing opportunities, right?
Yeah.
While the market is increasing, you know, over time, you're just kind of sitting on the sidelines and your money's dying, right? Because of inflation, like we talked about.
Yep.
So if you're listening to this, you're watching this, and you don't know where to start, today I think was a really good little beginner's guide, I would say, when it comes to getting into the market. But if people have any questions, just reach out to us on any of the platforms we're on.
Of course, guys, we're you know, not to humble brag, but we do very well and we treat clients really well. 90% of our business is repeats and referrals. So guys, reach out to us. To summarize those points, pre-construction is an avenue you could take. You could borrow down payment or get gifted down payments from your parents. You could invest in real estate investment trusts, which are known as REITs, or you could partner, do a joint ventureship or partner with somebody or a group of people if that and get your foot in the door. These are all ways you can right now, 2023, get into real estate. And we want to leave you with that. So do your duties, guys. I didn't say this at the beginning. I'm trying to, you know, make it as valuable as possible. But do your duties, guys. Subscribe, like, share this episode, leave a comment. Get your free ebook, financialfreedomclub.ca/ebook, where we talk a lot about these things, about the mindset, the team, the rinse and repeat, and all those things. And until next time, we're out, you guys.